Jesus has a heart for the marginalized of society, and people with special needs are no exception. What is the church doing to follow in his footsteps?
Join us today on Real Family Talk as we discuss this and also meet a family who is navigating raising a child with autism in a Christian home. Welcome to Real Family Talk. During this episode, we're talking about how to make the world a better place for people with special needs. We will talk about a wonderful new initiative that is making a difference in helping restore dignity to those with disabilities or who have lost a spouse or loved one.
To help us do just that, Dr. Larry Evans is joining us during this first segment. Larry, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you. It's very good to be with you.
So, Larry, you have a passion for the marginalized and the fact that people with disabilities or special needs should be viewed differently. What has been your experience in how people with special needs are generally seen and treated?
Well, if they are seen or treated at all, that's an improvement. So often what happens is they're ignored. They're pushed aside. Sometimes they are, there's a condescension to them, as if they really don't matter or they don't have much to contribute. We find that we need to change that.
So this whole notion of not seeing or not paying attention to sparked something inside of you, and you led and developed a new initiative of the Seventh-day Adventist Church called Adventist Possibility Ministries. Can you tell us about this ministry? And what's its purpose?
Well, yeah, you know, I never started off with this in mind. God has led in some really strange and wonderful ways. There's a Bible verse that really summarizes what we're trying to do. It's found in a verse called Micah 6, verse 8. And there are three different points that are important in that Bible verse. It says, really, that what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? That's really what we're about, to talk about justice, to talk about mercy, and to walk with God as he would lead us. So as we read about stories about Jesus, for example, throughout the Bible, we see how his compassion came through in so many different ways. He healed, he counseled, at times he even rebuked. But Jesus is known especially for being a caring person. So regardless of his ministry, he sought to make men, women, boys and girls, rich and poor, famous and those not so famous, become whole, to live out and to experience the fullness that he, their creator, had given to them. And so doing that, he brought to them a sense of self-respect, a sense of personal dignity that only God the Creator can do. But he's given that responsibility to the church as well.
Yeah, so I'm hearing you say that, in essence, the whole person of Jesus, his ministry, his approach to people who are marginalized, prompted this ministry to emerge, to be birth, if you will.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it, Willie. And the idea is that a person in the presence of Jesus became aware of a purpose that they hadn't seen before. Jesus gave them hope and encouragement. And that's what we hope to do.
That's just so encouraging and such a wonderful way for us to begin to see those that are different among us. And we're all different, and that's something that we often talk about. We just have different abilities. But you gave this ministry an interesting name, Possibility Ministries. And what made you come up with that name? Why Possibility Ministries?
But it has a lot to do with growing up as a kid and a teenager, because you begin to lose your sense of identity. You search for a sense of identity. I discovered that a name often has a way of carrying, describing a person. If you're a young person, you're young. As you get older, you're the old person. Names have a way of expressing not only who you are, like a family name, or what you do, like a doctor, a mechanic, or whatever. It also describes the kind of person you are. And so often, the way we have described people who have disabilities as they are the disabled. So I knew that when we began working with the deaf, that I wanted to stay away from that. The deaf made it very, very clear to me, they do not want to be known as the disabled. So we came up with another name. And that other name was special needs. These are the people with special needs. Well, the deaf said, well, that was better. And for a few years, we went with special needs ministries. But the more I traveled, and we did a lot of travel, a lot of different countries and schools, and in various kinds of institutions, we discovered that special needs really did not do justice to the people we were meeting. We began thinking, and I remember one particular convention where we said, think differently, think possibilities. So we began portraying this idea that people had possibilities. Well, that stuck for a while, and pretty soon I remember our general conference president said, so what are you going to call yourself, Larry? I said, Possibility Ministries.
Love it.
And we went from there. That's how we got started.
Excellent. So how has this ministry been received so far?
Well, the ministry itself has been received. Even when we were using other names, it was received very well, especially by the people who had been disenfranchised, people who had no longer been who felt accepted. All of a sudden, they had a sense of identity. They knew who they were, and they were not ashamed of it anymore. The stigmas and the prejudices were now pushed aside because they felt like they were somebody, and somebody else was recognizing them for something other than what they could not do. We saw in them what they might become, what they could do.
It's just so powerful. There's the whole notion of empowering people through a name. There's a possibility that you can be more than just your disability. So, Larry, as you see this ministry growing and expanding, what do you see in its future? What's the vision for the ministry?
Well, in 2 hours or less.
You have about a minute.
Well, thank you. The idea is to release the people for what God had created them to be. And so one of my frustrations is that when we sit at a table, we often sit around the table to talk about these people, but those people aren't with us. We want those people to be involved, sitting with us at the table, dreaming with us as what we can do. You know, there's 1.2 billion people in the world with some kind of serious disability. 1.2 billion. There's between 70 and 350 million just the deaf and hard of hearing. So we've got people all around who want to become involved. We've got all sorts of stories. I remember a blind person coming to me and said, so Larry, how can I as a blind person become involved in the mission of the church? These people are not wanting to be just consumers. They're wanting to be contributors to the mission of God. And we need to let them do that. We need to prepare them because they are anxious and the church and the world needs them.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much, Larry, for your service and for your ministry. We just pray that God will be with you as you continue to serve him and bring hope and healing to the often neglected.
When we return, we'll meet the Samuel family as they share their own story of living with a child who has special needs. Stay with us. Today on Real Family Talk, we're talking about possibilities, the possibilities that people living with special needs have, and how to embrace and appreciate them.
Joining us today is the Samuel family, Jeffrey and Anita Samuel, and their children, Jefferson, who is 18, Joshua, who's 15, and Josiah, who is 10 years old. Thank you all so much for being here with us.
So your family has the amazing possibility of raising a child with special needs. How has that been for you? What has been the challenge? And how has God helped you to manage and navigate this reality?
You know, when Joshua was born in 2006, life was amazing. We were so excited to have another baby in the family. But then at 2 years and a few months, we had to make a visit to the doctor because Joshua was not able to speak as my first son. So after many tests, we were given the diagnosis that Joshua's got autism. Mm. And that shattered our world. It really broke our hearts. And working as a nurse, I knew that it's not going to be an easy road. It's not a quick fix. It's a lifelong challenges as a family and also for Joshua as an individual. So I realized early on that with God's grace, and the focus is to have faith in Jesus, no matter what your setbacks are, keep going. Because if I have to sit back at home and sit and feel sorry for myself, I'm not going to justify the love of Jesus for my other children too. So that was the inner motive in me as a mother, to take my son to church, to take my son to birthday parties, to take my son to social gatherings. No matter how embarrassed I was, I just focused on my children. And I see that God had led us so wonderfully, because when we celebrated Joshua's first birthday, you know, we didn't know that autism is in the future, but we used the special song by Sandy Patty, yeah, for "You Are Fearfully and Wonderfully Made."
Yes.
And looking back now, Joshua's, his favorite video is that birthday video. And the words of that beautiful psalm is so powerful, because God knows how Joshua was formed in his mother's womb.
Yes.
And God had a plan at that time that through Joshua, Jesus is going to teach each one of us as his family member that God's love is unconditional love. We have to rediscover God's love. And as Desmond Tutu once said, you don't get to choose your family.
That's right.
They are a gift from God. Amen. As you are to them.
Amen.
And that little saying has sat with me. So no matter what anybody has to say about Joshua and his behavior, and it's okay. It's okay. That's what I say. Life's going to get better. It will get better.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate that. I mean, we also have a nephew who's autistic, and it does change the family dynamics, mm-hmm, and how we adjust and have to change. But all of us require and should be respected,
yes,
for who we are. But tell us a little bit about how having an autistic child has impacted your family and the other children in the family.
So the learning journey for us about what autism is, how it affects your life, it caused us to look at life completely differently, mm-hmm, you know. We were raised up like everybody else is raised up, you know, go to church, go to school, do these things, you know, be good and all that. But when you now have to communicate differently, you know, when your normal learning processes aren't going to work, that was the challenge for us. But it's a blessing, because if we didn't have Joshua, we would not be able to be where we are today to say, this is our story. And why do we say this is our story? Because this is for God's glory.
Amen.
That is the greatest lesson that we have learned. It goes back to the story in the Bible where when Jesus was here on earth, they asked him this question, why was this man born blind? Who sinned?
Yes.
That changes your concept of why we have suffering in this world. Why is my son autistic? Why is people sick? Jesus' answer gives us a very clear clear definition of why this happens. He said, this happens so that the works of God will be made manifest in him.
Amen.
This is for God's glory.
Yes.
That is why we are really appreciative that God has shown us this light, that he's opened our eyes, that we can stand and say, this is for God's glory.
Amen. You know, parenting is difficult with children who have no disabilities, as we speak in terms of disabilities. So you have an autistic child, and that has brought added challenges with itself. Have you found that there are resources in society to help parents with autistic children? And what are those?
You see, when you see Joshua, so many people say, if you didn't say that he's autistic, we wouldn't have known that he's autistic unless his behavior tends to show. So autism does affect 1 in 44 children here today, just in the United States alone.
Yes.
And we do have challenges. Every little changes was made at home, at school, at church, everywhere we had to find resources. We may not know what resources because it's our first son with autism. So changes at home, safety for the child. He has no awareness of safety. So everywhere we go, we have to make sure that he's safe. He may cross the road, he may not know. So we have lost him twice and we had to find him very quickly because we are learning as we go through. But praise God, when we put him in schools, the resources are plenty. The teachers are well trained. But the challenges that we faced is when we go to church. So that's where we found a little bit of hesitancy. And me encouraging children's ministry, I was in charge of Children's Sabbath School back in England in Harlow, and also involved with the Pathfinders. And I could see my son just running around, and I had to take few minutes, few moments, going and checking where he is. And then after that, I had to give it up. And I said, what are the resources for my child in the church? And then I began to discover, because when you seek, you will find.
That's right.
So when one of the pastors invited me to his church, they were having a disability awareness program. It's a disability awareness Sabbath. As soon as we entered the New Life Church in England, that's in London, I will not forget that feeling. I was a visitor there, and they welcomed us with these beautiful autism pins, which I proudly wear every time.
And that's what you gave me?
Yes. So this is an autism pin where they've invited us with that, and they welcomed us into the church. And when I entered the church, they were praising children with disability. There was no holding back, and I was asked to give a testimony, and that was my first time. What should I say? What proud thing should I talk about my son? But then I remember that song that says, for the God of the good times is also God of the bad times. The God of the day is God of the night. The God
alone
on the mountain is God on the valley.
Yes.
So that gave me the courage, and I said, I'm going to be happy with Joshua. So you begin to find resources.
Amen.
And then we were introduced to Sophia Nichols. She is the Adventist Special Needs Association in UK, a very powerful woman in her own rights, has created awareness. And then she invited us to the symposium in 2018, where we met Dr. Larry. And that was a very resourceful meeting.
And just before you tell us more about Dr. Larry, thank you so much, Anita. Yes. Right now we have to take a break, but when we return, we'll hear more from the Samuel family. Stay with us. We're back on Real Family Talk with the Samuel family as they share about their journey and experiences raising a child with different needs in a Christian home.
Okay, so you guys have shared so many wonderful points with us, and hopefully our viewers will get a better sense of how they can also be more sensitive and aware of families that are living with different needs, as you call it. And by the way, this blue color is representative, and you see the whole family is wearing blue, of autism. It's the color of autism. So I want to hear from the brothers, because I've noticed that you guys have such a close bond with Joshua. So Jefferson, tell me what you love about your brother, and you're also going to help him do something for us.
Yes, what I most love about Joshua is his loving and understanding nature. I think the most important thing to understand for us is that he is not abnormal. He is a normal teenager child. He acts just like one. He's able to understand everything that we all tell him in his own way. And it's just the problem lies in us not understanding him. So we all have to take the time to get to know children like my brother. And when we do, then we see their true beauty and we see what God has put something special in their hearts that they also have to share to the world. And Joshua would like to tell a memory verse. Joshua, would you like to say a memory verse? The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall know my he makes me be better. He my shall my
soul. Thank you.
Amen. Psalm 23.
Yes.
Memory verse. Thank you, Joshua. All right, how about Josiah? Would you like to share something about your brother?
Sure. It's like, I totally agree with Jeffson. Joshua, to me personally, he's just such a cool brother. He just simply is cool.
I like that.
And like, my thoughts about him, like, I've always wondered, what would Joshua be like if he didn't have autism? What would he sound like? How smart would he be? Like, all the questions you would asked to basically get to know someone.
Yes.
And like, I also have an analogy for autistic kids. So say a sick patient, like a sick dying patient that needs to see the doctor immediately. And then, a person just coming for their annual checkup goes into a doctor's office. The doctor's office would treat the sick dying patient first because obviously he doesn't want the dying patient to die. And then he would go to the annual checkup. It's basically the same thing with God. In heaven, he will value the least of our brethren, and the greatest will have the least value in heaven.
Amen. Thank you. And I understand that you want to be a pastor. So that was a pretty profound analogy there. Thank you, Jefferson and Josiah, for sharing.
And thank you, Joshua, for the memory verse.
And Joshua the memory verse. So I believe we're going to close out this segment with a song, sure. Amazing Grace, which is a very special song to your family. And Jefferson is going to play for us. And thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Music is a big part of our family and it brings us healing. In this song, Amazing Grace, it shows us that God puts blessings in adversities. So I hope we're able to see that in this song.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amazing grace.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." No matter what situations or challenges you might face in this life, remember that there is an incomparable heavenly home waiting for those who follow in the footsteps of Jesus.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.